This guy said $50,000 is too big of a fine for any pickleball player. This is the size of fine that like an NFL player would get. It's just an outrageous number, like compared to what pickleball players make. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to hang out with you today. As always, we're going to hop into some of the latest news and headlines in the pickleball space and kind of give you our unfiltered thoughts. So let's get right into it.
So this first kind of piece of pickleball news that has the community buzzing has to do with a pro player. And this pro player has had some instances like this in the past. So I don't know if you've seen this, but pro player Quang Duong actually just got fined by the PPA. Do you know how much he got fined?
I did see. Yes.
$50,000.
50K.
50 G's.
50,000 buckaroos.
Anyway, so the reason why he got fined is pretty interesting. So as you guys know, pickleball has had an interesting governing body situation. And so there are kind of two major tours. One is the APP tour. One is the PPA tour, which is owned by the UPA, which owns both the PPA and MLP. So Quang is under contract right now to play as a PPA player, which means if you are a signed pro that plays under the UPA, you cannot play any other tournament that's not a PPA or MLP.
It must be like sanctioned by the PPA tour or the UPAA.
Exactly. So Quang was actually overseas in Vietnam last weekend and participated in a pickleball event in Vietnam that was not held by the UPA. So he was in violation of his contract.
Which I'm not going to go into it, but the guy's kind of been known to violate contracts.
He's been known to violate contracts. So I guess, you know, he's going to have the $50,000 fine. But I also heard through the grapevine, I can't find it in this article, but I think he also has to sit out one event.
Yeah, suspended.
Yeah, yep. He's suspended. So what do you think about that?
You know, I was reading some of the comments. Why is that the thing to do? Like, I feel like I see more than ever now people find a post and they go directly to the comments.
Because comments are funny.
So I was reading the comments and this guy said $50,000 is too big of a fine for any pickleball player under any circumstance. Basically meaning like, this is pickleball. They give out... This is the size of fine that like a NFL player would get for something that he did.
Is it? I'm not even familiar.
Yeah, it's just an outrageous number like compared to what pickleball players make. But then again, I don't know if you saw the video like a couple weeks ago from Quang's dad.
I was going to bring this up. Talk about it.
And basically they were talking about Quang's like getting sponsored and he was basically saying like $500,000 too little or like something like basically like Quang is worth.
That's awesome.
He's basically saying like Quang is worth over $500,000. Like that's too small for the value that he could bring to a brand. And granted, like maybe if he's the face of pickleball in Vietnam, you know, Vietnam pickleball is growing a lot in Vietnam. It's growing a lot in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. As well as in Europe. We were just in Europe and it's growing a lot in Europe. So maybe he can generate a lot of money in sales, but I don't think it's kind of outrageous when you consider how much he's getting paid. I don't know how much he's getting paid. I know what his dad said. But a $50,000 fine is not small, you know?
Right. What do you think? Like this comment, for example, this says, all for supporting his country in a little local tournament. Seems extreme. PPA is acting like a controlling ex. So like even the idea of like, it's not like he went and played on the 8PP tour. He like went to Vietnam.
Right. It would maybe feel different if he went to like a competing tour. But then again, I haven't read the contract that he signed.
I mean, clearly he was in breach of contract. So, they wouldn't be able to do it otherwise.
So if he's in breach of contract, then I guess.
But does the punishment equal the crime, in your opinion?
Probably not. I mean, but maybe the PPA, so we know the PPA is a bit, you know, after money. They've been known to make some decisions that
a little
really,
unhinged pod.
That really, you know, influence their pockets, you know? And that's part of, no, but that's part of when the UPAA was formed. There was a lot of controversy because the new sanctioning body over pickleball is a for-profit company, whereas the USAP, or the previous sanctioning body over pickleball, was a nonprofit company. And so it does feel like there's some interest, a lot of financial interest in play right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, but I don't know if it was like a money grab as much as if it was them trying to make a statement amongst all players. Like maybe they've been hearing talks internally about other players like wanting to leave. I don't know. This is all speculation.
Yeah.
But they're basically like, we're going to use this as the standard to, if you violate a contract and you play in another tournament, we take this seriously. So, I mean, I don't know that it's like completely unwarranted. I thought it was a little high. I would have expected, I think maybe like if it was like a $20,000 fine or $25,000 fine, we wouldn't be talking about it. 50K
is steep.
A good amount.
Yeah.
It's like how much teachers make.
I think where I'm at with it is obviously like QD, great player. The dude needs to read his contracts a little bit more intentionally, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, I don't know him. I'm not going to talk. I don't know him personally. You know, I've heard things. I don't want to talk bad about the kid or his dad, but I have kind of heard it. I do get this feeling that he kind of maybe feels like he's invincible. You know what I mean?
Maybe,
like feels like he can do whatever he wants because he's that valuable. And I'm just like, you're not that irreplaceable. You're good, but I don't know.
Do think that, you know, when it comes to contracts, like I'd like to think like, don't bite the hand that feeds you, you know, like recognize, you know, the UPA is paying him, you know, like it's not like he's just showing up, like he's getting paid to play for them. So I think there's that side of it where he definitely breached the contract. But I also think there's this other side of it where I don't know if I love how the UPA handled it, because the sport is growing massively in Vietnam, Asia, and that could have been a great opportunity to help grow the sport. I wish if I could go back in time and like help everybody make better decisions, I wish Quang would have been like, hey, I want to go to Vietnam, play this tournament. Would you guys like allow that? Is there any way that we could make this work for me? Like because I think it is a great opportunity for him to help.
I think
grow.
At the same time, he can go teach clinics over there. He can do a lot of things, but I also wonder, I just had this thought, like, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that the PPA Tour is trying to go international? Like, they've had some international stops already this year. There's more in the books. So maybe they're like, the PPA Tour isn't just an American thing. It is a worldwide, that's how they view it. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some influence to their thought there.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. But anyway, that's all I had on that little hot piece.
Do you think it's too expensive of a fine? You didn't answer. I answered.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty steep.
It's pretty steep.
I think it's pretty steep.
But if they're worth way more than $500,000 a year, then maybe they can afford it. I don't know. Anyways, guys, let us know in the comments. What do you guys think? Do you guys think $50,000 is too big of a fine, too large of an amount for this type of violation?
For cutie.
Do you think that, real quick before we move on, do you think that there's any sort of violation in pickleball that would warrant a $50,000 fine? Like, is there a worse, like, I think back to the Andre Daescu thing. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what he was fined. I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
I do remember he was suspended for a while because he got supposedly caught with a foreign substance on his paddle, cheating. That feels like a bigger deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I feel like it makes me wonder if we're going to see bigger fines than this.
I'm not sure.
Hey, have you heard of the new Play More app?
No. What is it?
Basically, the Play More app is like a stress-free scheduling app for pickleballers. So I don't know, we've struggled a lot in group text trying to organize play. You'll set it up and somebody will just like the text. And I'm like, does that actually mean you're coming or not?
Yeah, and it's like, you never know how many people you have, like what rating they are. It's kind of annoying.
It can kind of just be a nightmare to try to organize groups because group texts are just not fun. So basically, the Play More app lets you send out invitations. You get an RSVP list. If somebody doesn't show, there's a wait list that will actually like put somebody right into.
No way.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dang, that's awesome. What's it called?
It's called the Play More app. So you should download it at the App Store or you can go to getplaymore.com if you want to look at it online. This is kind of just more of a general topic. I saw a couple posts in Facebook forums talking about tournaments. And obviously, you and I have talked recently in terms of tournaments, how, you know, the last tournament I played, for example, was I decided to step away from the big 1,000-people tournaments and I went and played like a 300-person, smaller, more local tournament. I had a much better experience personally than I did when I played one of these massive 1,200 registered people,
sure.
PPA, you know, and we've had back to the PPA and we've had some, you know, pain points that we've experienced in tournaments. And that's what one of the questions was, what are your biggest pain points with tournaments? Whether that be,
I would like to go first.
You go first.
All right. One of my like least favorite tournament experiences was at like a bigger tournament, thousands of players. And it was the wait times between matches.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you have that many people registered for a tournament, even at a big facility, you know, people are just, there's too many players versus how many courts you have. So, for example, we were playing in New York, and I think we waited like 4 or 5 hours between some of our matches.
Yeah, and then when we started playing again, I was low-key cramping up.
Yeah, like that's insane, you guys, to wait 4 or 5 hours. And I talked to other people at the tournament, and people were like all in the same boat. Like people were waiting hours. Like I remember low-key was like, should I take a nap? Because this is so long.
Yeah.
But then you don't want to nap because then you don't know if you're going to hear your text.
That's the hard thing about it is that it's like, sometimes I think about this. We take our dog on a walk or we take our dog like...
I have no idea where this is going.
No, listen, I'm going to connect the dots. So okay. Like, let's say we were to take our dog Henry on a run. He has no idea. We know the distance that we're going to run. We know how long we're going to run. He has no idea if we're going to stop running in an hour or stop running in 5 minutes. So he doesn't know how to pace himself. He just sprints and he gasses himself. He's a sprinter.
He's not a good long distance runner dog.
But there's kind of this interesting thing I think about is like, he has no idea how long he's going to be doing this. And going back to the tournament, like...
You have no idea how long you're waiting.
You have no idea. That's the hardest part about it to me is I'm like, it's not... If I knew I was waiting 3 or 4 hours, okay, well, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go get me some AC. Right. I'm going to go... But it's that you're sitting there and you're checking your phone waiting for a text.
No, it's true.
4 hours. And that was the hard part for me. So I agree with you. That's one of my biggest pain points as well. Is not just the tournament wait times, but that dynamic that you're waiting around and you kind of can't leave. You kind of have to be attentive. Yeah.
Yeah. It's stinks, man. I have another one.
Okay. Tell me.
This, I guess, maybe could be a local. Actually, no, I've never experienced this at a local tournament. Roll out courts.
Yeah, like pickle rolls.
The pickle rolls, cushion X.
There's been a couple tournaments. They don't have enough courts, and they're trying to make as much money as they can by signing up as many people. Mm-hmm. And so they get these tournament, or they get these makeshift courts, and the balls don't bounce.
Dude, the ball hits a dead spot, and you're like,
you had that experience in Miami once. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to that tournament, but we had that experience at another tournament as well.
We had that in New York.
The tournament from hell, I guess. Yeah, so I agree with you. That's another one.
It's a pain.
All right, what about this one? I'm just reading the comments. Sandbaggers?
I don't care about
that. I don't really care about that either.
I don't really care about that.
You
don't have any personal ones you want to add?
You hit them.
Oh, really? Those were the two?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even think about the rollout courts, but the main, and that's honestly what a lot of people said in the comments was this person said, not knowing when the next match will be, 10 minutes or 2 hours, or a mix of the two. never knowing if it will be 2 hours or 12. So like people
literally experience this.
The only other ones I really got were parking. Like some of these ones you have to be like shuttled.
Oh, I've had some bad parking ones.
Confusing texts, when there are weather delays. Yeah. To me, it's mainly the wait times that really bother me.
I have one more.
Okay.
The prices for some of these registrations for the bigger tournaments are ludicrous to me.
Yeah. Would you play in more if they weren't as expensive?
I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of on the local train, if I'm being honest.
That's what I was saying at the beginning. I feel like they're less expensive. There's smaller wait times. I like these like maximum 400 registered people in the tournament. Mm-hmm. That's like a nice size. If it's like under 100 people registered, it's like you're going to be like two teams in your division, so it's not quite there.
Mm-hmm.
But that one I did, there was like around 300 teams registered, and there was like five or six people in our division. It was a round robin, play everyone, then play the championship at the end. So yeah, I think that's the sweet spot right now.
I don't know. Yeah.
I will say the one thing about these bigger tournaments, it's kind of fun. Like if you make a deep run in the bracket, cause you're just playing like all day, mm-hmm. and there's like this, but it's not fun to wait. And I think that the main, when you get deeper in the bracket, the wait times get less, obviously, mm-hmm. but it can be brutal in the first couple rounds.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask, because in this tournament talk, some people ask in these forums, like, what are some advice that you would have for someone that's never played a tournament before?
Mm.
Anything that you would tell, like, let's say a friend of ours just getting into pickleball, they're going to play their first tournament. What would be like a small piece of advice you would give?
I think, you know, obviously, like the difference between tournament play to me and rec play is tournament is just more pressure, right? There's more pressure. People are tighter. So I think something that is really important, if you can make this happen, this has really helped me. If you get like one or even better, two games in before your first game.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when the courts are congested. So you just grab people like before.
Yeah, you just grab other people warming up and you say, hey, can we get a, can you guys want to like play a couple points?
Find another team and see. Yeah.
I think that really helps, like just to get moving and just try to get some nerves out. Like, I think I notice a really big difference between like first game matches where I've gotten to play a game before versus I've just been hitting warmups with my partner and then we hop into a game.
What about timeouts?
Oh, I love timeouts.
I know that, like, cause like sometimes it depends on the player. Like I know, like for example, Ben Johns doesn't take many timeouts, but
I love timeouts.
Anna Lee takes timeouts all the time.
I take timeouts whenever, the other team gets on a run, meaning they kind of rattle off a couple points just to help break their momentum, or I take a timeout if I'm mad. because the last thing you want is to make a mistake. You're mad at yourself, and now your mistake turns into two more mistakes because you're still thinking about your last mistake.
Yeah, and I feel like when we first started playing tournaments, we didn't really know how to utilize the timeout. It's like, you know you have them, but you kind of forget to call them.
Well, I liked taking timeouts.
But now, yeah. No.
I remember you didn't like taking timeouts.
In the first tournament?
In the first couple tournaments we did. I'd be like, let's take a timeout. And you were like, no, 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 let's just keep going.
Yeah, maybe I'm not as much of a timeout person.
Yeah.
But I do think it's good to know that you have them because you don't have timeouts in like a rec play game. You know,
right.
So
what about you, tournament advice?
I think for me, quite frankly, I'm not gonna lie, like I still get pretty tight.
I do too.
In tournaments. So I think anything you can do to kind of loosen up, I think this last tournament I played was a little better. I didn't get quite as tight because I think my tendency when I get really tight is I'm just trying not to make a mistake, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of tighten up, you kind of like shorten your swing, you kind of just really don't want to make an error, and you're tight, quite
you're
literally.
Physically
tight, and you're mentally, emotionally tight. It's all tight. So I think that something that would really help is if you're the same way, or if you find yourself listening and you go to a tournament and you're the same way, take the opposite approach. Instead of like slowing down everything and trying to be too perfect, just let it rip.
Just go for it.
Just actually start trying to serve bigger, drive bigger, drop more aggressively. And then you'll find yourself getting into more of that flow and that rhythm. And you kind of break off some of that robotic kind of mechanical swing path. And it's just more loose. So I would say, like, if you're tight, purposely try to like hit a drive really hard in the beginning of the game, or maybe serve really big early in the game. Just something to like get momentum going forward and let it rip. Loosen up everything and just let it go. Mm-hmm. I'd rather miss in a tournament when I'm really loose and I like let it go, and I maybe hit a really aggressive drop that just, you know, carries wide, versus dumping a drop into the net. So that's what I would say. I think that loosen up and let it rip. Honestly, if you feel you're getting tight, don't try to become more perfect. That's going to make you more tight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yep. So I don't know if I have anything else. Do you have any other thoughts in regards to tournaments?
You don't know. I think a lot of it is just like, honestly, having a very short memory, you know, really being super present. I think a lot of times in tournaments, I've gotten in trouble, like just overthinking. And sometimes you just got to like, honestly, turn off your brain and just be present and go, and don't be thinking about the past mistake that you made or whatever. Like literally have a 5-second memory.
Yeah.
And think what's important right now.
I think it'd be also good. How can you also practice that when you're not in a tournament? You know, how can you drill pressurized situations or put yourself in pressurized games and situations so you can practice, you can implement that before you get in a tournament? Because a lot of times people just play rec ball and it's really easy and fun. All right, last question, actually. What?
No, I like it.
Do you have any like funny tournament stories? Sorry to put you on the spot. Like anything that's happened to you in a tournament that was like wild, whether it be with like fans, opponents. No?
No, really. Have you?
I mean, like, yeah, there's been a couple times. Like, I know, like, I've gotten into it with, well, watching some of your matches, I've gotten into it with like opposing fans, I remember that one where the team we were playing, like the guy tried to call a hindrance. Remember that?
Yeah, on a different court.
Yeah, basically I was playing this guy in a men's doubles tournament, and this guy literally stopped because somebody from another court in another match yelled during his backswing. I was like, dude, you cannot call a hindrance on that.
That was insane.
Yeah. I just didn't know if you, I know that you have a pretty crazy story I was thinking of, but I was like, actually that didn't happen in a tournament, that happened just at the court. So that doesn't count.
Yeah. I don't think I've had anything like crazy happen at a tournament.
Yeah. Well, guys, let us know in the comments if you've had any crazy stories that have happened to you at a tournament, or if you have any advice, like we were talking about, for people playing their first tournament. We'd love for you to leave those in the comments, but that's about all I got. I thought you were going to wrap it up.
You were gonna wrap it up.
All right, I'll wrap it up. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection Podcast, and we will see you on the next one.